24, last chapter, Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Have you ever told a joke and the person that you were telling the joke to didn't get it? Or tried to explain a concept to someone and it goes right over the listener's head? You know, sometimes my wife and I may be talking about something and she'll say something and I'll have no idea what she's talking about. And the reason being, she's changed the subject without any indication. And I'll think that we're still discussing the previous topic. And so I don't get it. When I was reading Luke 24 the other day, I realized that this chapter reveals that there are many times when Jesus' disciples didn't get his teaching. They didn't understand. It went over their head, especially his teaching about his suffering and death that was soon to come. They just didn't get it. They missed that truth. And I think that they did so simply because, and this is big, because of their unbelief. Don't miss truth because of your unbelief. Peter didn't get Jesus' suffering and Jesus' death. And he also failed to see himself as ever denying the Lord. And yet he did it three times. James and John, they didn't understand what Jesus' ministry was about. They wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans that rejected Jesus' message. And Thomas, he refused to believe in the resurrection, even though the other disciples said, yeah, we saw him. He appeared to us. So when I read Luke chapter 24, I noted that there are a number of times when the disciples missed resurrection truth because of their unbelief. And doing so, I think, caused a couple of things. And then I see how Jesus dealt with those things and brought about a remedy for it. And that's what I want to share with you this evening. Before we do so, let's pause a moment, have a word of prayer, and then ask the Lord to really speak to our hearts in powerful and practical tones. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that we can call upon you. Thank you that you have sent your Spirit. Jesus said that he sent the promise of the Father, even the Holy Spirit upon us. We do tonight understand and receive gladly. We take of the Spirit as our anointing, as our unction. We ask that you might use the thoughts that you've given to us, that we might, as a result, be a people that really understand the truth that we need to understand, that we wouldn't miss the truth that you want us to grasp. We're dull, normally, naturally. We are hard of understanding. And so, Lord, make it clear. Clarify your truth in our hearts this evening in Jesus' name. That is for his glory, we pray it. Amen. If you look back with me in Luke 24 to verse number 12, this is when the disciples got word from the women that were early there at the tomb and found that the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and they were met by that angel, and that angel told them, he's not here, he's risen. And so they hightail it back to the apostles to tell them this wonderful truth. And it says in verse 11, Their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, if that isn't pure and simple unbelief on the part of the apostles, I don't know what is. But verse 12 says, then Peter arose, and he ran into the sepulcher, stooping down. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at what was come to pass. He couldn't figure it out. This was a head scratcher to him. And I would say he missed the resurrection truth, and it caused him to be perplexed. When you miss vital truth that God wants you and I to understand from his word, it will cause you to be perplexed. And notice the fact that not only Peter, but Jesus's other followers are just as perplexed as he is due to their unbelief. They missed the truth that they should have known. These disciples, these followers of Jesus, should not have missed the truth regarding the resurrection. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why. In verse 44 of this chapter, we are informed by Jesus, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. They shouldn't have been perplexed. They should not have missed the truth, because it's the very truth that the Savior proclaimed when he was with them. He proclaimed it to them repeatedly over the 3.5 years of his ministry with the disciples. He spoke about his suffering and his death. For example, back over in Matthew chapter 16, he says to them in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Notice, from that time forth, he began to show them. It was not just a one-time thing. He showed them over and over again. In fact, if you'll jump over with me to Mark's gospel, and in Mark chapter 9, well, I could also just go before you do that, Matthew 17, just the next chapter, and verse 22, while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they'll kill him, and the third day he'll be raised again. And then Mark tells us in Mark chapter 9 and verse 31 that they departed, passed through Galilee. He taught the disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he'll rise the third day. The next chapter, in chapter 10 and verse 33 of Mark's gospel, he says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they'll condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they'll mock him, they'll kill him, the third day he'll rise. So over and over again, repeatedly, Jesus is proclaiming his death and resurrection to the disciples, but they didn't get it. And because they missed that resurrection truth, they were like Peter, they were perplexed. And yet Jesus hints at it often and then directly speaks about it. The Savior proclaimed it. They should have known this truth. But there's a second thing. Scripture predicted it. And I'm talking about Old Testament scripture. I'm talking about the prophets that these Jewish believers should have been familiar with. It tells us, if you go back to Luke 24, it tells us in verse 27 that on that road to Emmaus with those two disciples, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Same chapter, drop down with me to verse 44. these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding. And verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So they should have not been perplexed. They should not have missed the resurrection truth and thus been perplexed about it, because the Savior proclaimed it and the scriptures predicted it. And Jesus spelled it out to them from the Tanakh, from the Jewish scriptures. What do you think are some of the passages that he may have used when he was explaining this to them? Any come to mind? Raise your hand. Yeah. Isaiah 53, he must use that one. What's another one? Psalm 22 would be one, I would imagine. Any others that come to mind? I was thinking about Zechariah 12, where they look upon him whom they pierced. Yeah. And it says, but he went through the whole Old Testament, basically, and showed things concerning himself, obviously more than his suffering and his death and resurrection, but it's all there. So these disciples, and Peter, the key one there, is perplexed because they miss the truth. Whenever you miss vital Bible truth, you're going to be perplexed in your life. You're going to face situations where you don't know what to do. You're going to be perplexed because you don't know the Word of God, because you've missed the truth that the Holy Spirit of God perhaps wanted to communicate to you. This is why it's so important that you're poring over the scriptures every day. This is why it's so important that you let the scriptures saturate your heart, your mind, your thinking, so that you think biblically, so that whatever life throws at you, you don't have to be perplexed, because the Bible answers that. The Bible has the answer for that situation. The Bible answers your, and even if you don't have a Bible answer, the Bible tells you how you can have peace even when you're not answered. There's a second thing that happens when God's people miss truth. Now, I'm talking about the resurrection truth. That's what they missed, and they were perplexed by it. But look at verse 17. Here's another emotion that gets messed up when we miss biblical truth. And he said unto them, this is the two disciples, two followers on the road to Emmaus, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? These guys, maybe it's a man or a woman, I don't know, but these two disciples, whoever they were depressed. When you miss biblical truth, you set yourself not only up to be perplexed, but also to be depressed. The Emmaus Road disciples were sad because they missed the biblical truth about the resurrection. They didn't get it. And we get depressed when we miss Bible truth. When we miss biblical truth, we miss it because of our unbelief. Now, why do we have unbelief? If unbelief is the reason why we miss the truth, why do we have unbelief? And I think two main reasons. Number one, because of our personal longing. Let me explain what I mean by that. Jesus's death was totally contrary to the personal desires or longings of his followers. They didn't want a dead king. They wanted a living king. They wanted a living Messiah, not a dead one. And so because of their personal desires not being fulfilled, their personal longings, they got depressed. We believe, I'm convinced of this, and I think this is important. We believe in the Bible what we want to believe. We call ourselves sometimes Bible believers, but we really aren't. We're like, we treat the Bible sometimes like we do a cafeteria line, where we go through the Bible and we pick and choose the truth that we really love and we keep going back to the same dish every time. And it's an a la carte type approach to our Bibles. They didn't want to believe Jesus was going to die. We believe what we want to believe, and we only emphasize what's important to us. And many times what happens then is we end up majoring on the minors, less important biblical truth, and we miss more important biblical truth for the Christian life because of it. And as a result, at times we even draw wrong conclusions about Bible teaching. So they were depressed because of their unbelief, and their unbelief was the result of personal longing. But a second thing, their unbelief was the result of natural logic. Here's what I mean. When God's truth does not line up with our rationale, when God's teaching is contrary to human reasoning, when the word of God or the truth of God seems irrational to us and doesn't seem to make sense. And remember, the way that you and I think is normally driven by our personal longings. It's driven by our personal desires. We think that things have to happen a certain way because that makes the most sense to us, because we want to believe what we want to believe. And we reject truth sometimes. They rejected that death of Jesus because it didn't fit what they wanted to believe. It didn't fit their favorite narrative. It didn't forward their goals, their agendas. They wanted to be, you remember, sitting on the throne on his right hand and his left hand in the kingdom. That didn't match their personal longings, and it didn't fit their natural logic. So they were depressed. Are you depressed? Because things aren't working out the way you think or thought that they should? Well, what happens? How does Jesus deal with that kind of stuff? When his people miss the truth, and here is a significant truth, the resurrection, his death and resurrection, I should say, and they're perplexed by it and they're depressed by it. What's the answer to this? Well, go to verse 45. And he says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Here's the third thing I want you to see here in this passage. They're perplexed. They're depressed because they miss the truth due to their unbelief. And Jesus steps in and he transformed them. He transformed their thinking. He transformed their mind. And how does he do it? Well, today he does it through the Holy Spirit. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it's the Holy Spirit's filling, and it's the Holy Spirit's teaching that is the key to overcoming unbelief. That is a key ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believing life. He overcomes our unbelief by ministering in us and to us through the Word. Now, I want you to see verse 45, how Jesus transformed depressed, perplexed followers. How did he do it? In verse 45, through enlightenment, he opened their understanding. He opened their spiritual minds to be able to understand the scripture. The theological term for that is called illumination. And illumination is the current ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 speaks powerfully to that, because in that second chapter, he basically says, beginning in, let's see here, beginning in verse 10, but God hath revealed unto revealed them, that is the truth, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. What's he saying? He's saying this. You and I can't read one another's thoughts. Where our spirit is, only our spirit knows what we are thinking as an individual. And then he compares that to the Lord, the Holy Spirit. He says, well, the Spirit of God knows the mind of God because he is God. And then he says, and that mind, that Spirit of God that knows the mind of God is in you and gives you the mind of God. That's verse 16. You have the mind of Christ so that you can understand the things of the Spirit. So you can understand biblical truth, spiritual truth. That's called enlightenment. That's an illumination. That's a vital ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there just this week, I remember I came to a portion of scripture I've read many times, and I said, Lord, I'm tired of just jumping over this. I want to know what this passage means. And it didn't come to me right away. Even though I was depending on the Spirit, I didn't get the understanding of it right away. But as I continued reading in that chapter, all of a sudden, that question that came in verse 35 that I asked the Lord to open my eyes to, in verse 53, boom, it connected, and I understood it. That's illumination. That's enlightenment. That's the Spirit of God opening our minds. And so he transformed them, first of all, through enlightenment. Look at verse 49. And Jesus says to them, you're my witnesses, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, who is that, but the Holy Spirit. Tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's what he's, this is the second thing that I believe transformed perplexed, depressed disciples who missed the truth. That first of all, they got the truth because of enlightenment. Secondly, as a result of that enlightenment, the Spirit of God brings convincement. What Jesus enlightened them about, the Holy Spirit convinced them of. When he came, there's convincement. And you look at the messages of Peter and John and the other disciples and the followers of the Lord in the book of Acts. Man, they understood it. The death and resurrection of Jesus. They had enlightenment, and now they had the Spirit's convincement. The Holy Spirit is the convincer. And as he illuminates you, you become convinced then of that truth that he emphasizes and he clarifies. And so you're totally convinced about that truth. So there's enlightenment. There's convincement. This is how Jesus transforms disciples, that truth just goes over their head. He enlightens them. He convinces them. And then in verse 52, there's enjoyment. He says, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There's enjoyment. The enjoyment is seen in their worship of him, because now they understand who he really is. And there's joy because now they knew his plan. In fact, before he ascended, he spent 40 days teaching them about the coming kingdom. And they verse 53 says, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. There's real enjoyment. They're praising because they had his promise. And the comforter is now in them, and they're convinced also of his return. He said, as you see me go, the angel said, as you see him go, he'll come again. So, tying it all together, it's very important to really understand important biblical truth and not miss it. How much important biblical truth have you missed lately? I mean, some of that depends upon how much time you spend in this book. You spend a little, or if you get your teaching from listening to other people all the time, you don't get it. You got to get this. This has to come from the Lord and not just from commentaries or Bible teachers or Bible preachers. You know, I think we rely too much upon that. It can make a major difference in your life if you don't miss important truth. And you'll impact others as a result. For example, I came across the testimony of a woman. She looks to be about my age. She grew up on the mission field in the Philippines. Her mother and father and her family, they were missionaries on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines, which if you know anything about the Philippine islands, Mindanao is a hotbed of Muslim insurgency. There are Muslim terrorists that occupy that island more than any other part of the Philippines. They're called the Abu Sayyid. I've been there. I've been to Mindanao, and so I've seen some of this personally. But anyway, she grew up on that mission field. Her name is Carol Ward. Interesting woman, a godly woman. She is a missionary now in Africa, in the continent of Africa. She said that her grandparents were missionaries in China for 30 years, and her mother and father were in the Philippines for 62 years. And she says she remembers her father laying his hand on a world map on the continent of Africa and praying over them because he had such a burden for the Muslim people, and laying his hand and weeping and praying over the lost people there in this swath of Middle Africa from east to west. There's a swath where Muslim population mostly abides there. And she, this is her father, who he would be the target of these Muslim terrorists. They wanted to cut off his head so bad, and yet the Lord protected him all those years of ministry. And so anyway, she has ministered in that Muslim area of Africa, in the most dangerous part probably in the world, and the Lord is using her mightily. And she has no end in sight. She is there until God's finished with her. But the thing about the thing that really struck me is she was being interviewed, and the interviewer said something like this to her, you know, why are you there? You know, that's the most dangerous place in the world. And you're there. And she said, well, I have discovered that that fear is a powerful thing, but faith is more powerful. And then she said, he said something to the effect, but, you know, you could be killed. And she said, how can you stay there? And she said, well, she said, you know, I've died to self. And what I mean is that I'm dead, and the devil can't kill a dead person. That really resonates, doesn't it, with us? We don't know that kind of lifestyle. We don't know that kind of dedication to the Lord. That's a truth, I believe, that just goes over most American Christians' head. Because We count our lives dear unto ourselves. But thank God there are people all over this globe that love the Lord and do not count their lives dear unto themselves. They don't care if their head gets chopped off if they're preaching the gospel. Nothing's going to stop them because they're dead to themselves, but they're alive unto God. So don't miss the truth. And I believe that this is a vital one that is missed by most Christians. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to die. You got to die. You got to take up your cross. That means you have to die to yourself. You have to be a dead person walking. You have to be dead to self and alive only to God and his will if you're going to be his follower. Don't miss that truth, because if you do, you'll have all kinds of excuses for a easy believism, a Christian life of leisure, just doing what you feel like doing and exerting yourself as much as you feel like exerting yourself, but there'll be no reward for you in heaven. Don't miss this truth.